This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
Brad Young here on KZK. Oh, wait, no, it's not KZK.
Too bad she's not in here.
I know, I was going to tease Sue and she walked out. But no, this is 97.1 FM Talk. Brad Young sitting in for Mark. I'll be here till 6. Thanks for hanging out with us this afternoon. And in this segment, I want to break down some of the legal issues regarding Doge. But even before I get to that, here's just some of the things that we've seen reported here. Really, in the last, it's hard to believe, but just in the last 3 weeks is all that we're dealing with here. FEMA, on Monday of this week, FEMA discovered, Musk discovered that FEMA had paid $59 million to house migrants in luxury hotels in New York City. $59 million. Now, critics will say, well, we have our government spends in excess of $5 trillion a year, and so what's a few million here and there? Well, that money adds up. But more importantly, look at the philosophy of this, that if we spent $59 million to house migrants in luxury hotels in New York City, how much could we have done for those in North Carolina who were displaced by the hurricane, whose homes were destroyed? That these are people who, I don't care if they're white, black, Hispanic, but if they're citizens of this country, how much more did they need assistance to maintain their homes and to feed their families, whereas FEMA spent $59 million to house illegal migrants in luxury hotels in New York City? Is that really a good use of our money?
Of course not.
And the answer is of course not. But it doesn't stop at $59 million, because according to a recently released audit, FEMA has handed out more than $1.4 billion in housing and aid for illegal immigrants over the last 2 years. $1.4 billion.
Good grief.
And then I look at what we're doing again for North Carolina, and how are they being assisted? How could they have used an extra $1.4 billion to rebuild communities, to rebuild churches?
And that is why they're going through this. I don't think this stuff has been gone through or looked at in possibly ever, in decades. But possibly ever. What are we spending money on? Let's look at the overall budget. Obviously, nobody has gone in. Or they have, and they don't care.
Right. Or they don't want to release it because it makes the government look bad.
Mm-hmm.
And
they want to keep their job.
And they'll want to keep their jobs. Because it's interesting. I saw an interview once. This was decades ago, Sue. But I saw an interview with an economist.
Hmm.
And this was an epiphany moment for me. This was in the 90s. And this economist was talking about in the private sector that if you are a widget factory, your job is to build widgets and sell them.
Mm-hmm.
That if you're in the car business, you build cars and sell them. But for the government, the only product that they have is jobs. Their job is not to create anything other than paying people to do nothing.
Wow.
And that to me was an epiphany, that the government really doesn't create any useful goods or services.
No.
It simply transfers the money around that is taken from individuals who do produce useful goods and services.
Yeah, that's a really good point, which is why we want it to be smaller.
Yes.
And not larger.
Exactly. So that's why I wanted to, in this segment, talk a little bit about Doge and whether it's legal, because we've heard lots of accusations that I think that my favorite line was Elon Musk, who elected Elon Musk to do anything? And in response to that, I would say, who elected the department head of USAID to do anything? Who elected the head of all of the divisions, all the DEI programs in the Department of Education? Who hired that person or people? Nobody. Who hired, and go by any agency that DOGE is looking at, and they're completely run by unelected people.
That's true.
And to me, I think it's ironic that the left is saying those unelected people,
They're fine.
But Elon Musk, who's unelected, he's not fine.
Right.
And this is a constitutional crisis.
Even though he's a genius and was put into that position by the president, who was overwhelmingly elected by the people.
Exactly. By not only a majority of the Electoral College, but a majority of the popular vote. And remember in years past, particularly under the Bush 2 administration, when the argument was, well, you didn't get a majority of the votes, so we don't have to listen to you. Okay, that argument was everywhere.
It was.
When Bush won both times, because he never got the popular vote. So that argument was, we don't have to listen to you because you never got the popular vote. So the corollary to that is, therefore, if you do win the popular vote, does that mean that we must now therefore listen to you?
Yep, but are they going to do it?
No, of course not. Of course not. But I took a look at DOGE, this Department of Government Efficiency. It's not a cabinet agency. Cabinet agencies require, under the Constitution, require Senate approval. DOGE is not that.
Mm-mm.
So it doesn't require it. So at this point, Elon Musk doesn't have to be approved by Congress. He doesn't have to be funded any money because the White House, the executive branch, has discretionary income that is, in fact, funded by Congress. And that's being used right now to pay Elon Musk and his associates.
Perfect.
So there's absolutely nothing about what he's doing that's breaking the law.
Okay, good.
And yet what we're hearing from the left is that this is a constitutional crisis, that you have unelected people making decisions. And the point I'm trying to make here is that it's all noise.
Yes.
It's all noise designed to delegitimize what Elon Musk is doing. And let's talk about that delegitimization here for just a moment. You remember when Trump was elected the first time, the accusation was Russia got him elected.
Yeah.
because the Russians spent $100,000 on Facebook. And I laughed and mocked at that at the time, because when you have campaigns, look at what it cost Kamala Harris. Her campaign spent over $1 billion.
Jeez.
And she lost. And yet 100,000 supposedly swayed the election in 2016 when $1 billion last year failed to get her elected. It's ridiculous.
It is.
But it's noise that's designed to delegitimize the presidency. When Bush beat Gore back in 2000, the argument was, well, you weren't elected. You were selected by the Supreme Court. Again, that was an attempt to say anything that President Bush does is illegitimate because he was selected, not elected. Of course, those are people who have never read the Constitution and
right.
realize that it's the Electoral College that elects presidents, not the popular vote.
Right.
But that same playbook is going on today. You saw in 2017 and 2018, when Robert Mueller was investigating the so-called Russia collusion.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what was ironic was, where did that report come? It was called the Steele Report. And it was generated by whom? By the attorneys for Hillary Clinton.
Oh,
so she created the dossier that then was the genesis of a 2-year witch hunt to say that that Trump colluded with the Russians, when in fact it was Hillary Clinton who colluded and obtained all of that information from Russia itself.
There you go.
But the point being, and I'm trying to expose the playbook, the point then, the point during Bush, the point during Trump 1, and the point during Trump 2, it's all the same playbook. Throw whatever we can at the Trump administration to delegitimize what they do in order to say it's immoral, it's illegal, and it's unethical.
They have no other path.
No.
Because eventually Doge, at whatever pace it goes, will uncover all of this wasteful spending, or at least what it can find. And can you imagine what else is in there that they won't even find?
We can't imagine. We have no idea.
We have no comprehension of what that might be. And this is all just trying to help everybody. But no.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I'm looking forward to seeing what's going to come uncovered. But, you know, the second element here that's being attacked and delegitimizing what Doge is doing is that, oh, well, Trump's only doing this by executive order, and therefore it's invalid. That's the other argument that we hear. Let me break that down for just a moment. First of all, let's look at USAID. It was created by President Kennedy in, I believe, 1962. Mm-hmm. How? By an executive order. Okay? So the executive order created USAID, and that was fine, okay? But now any executive orders are not legitimate and illegitimate because it's not an actual law. Now, having said that, I looked at the laws. I looked these up today. The various laws that fund USAID and have so for the better part of 2.5 decades.
Mm.
That money, USAID is not referenced anywhere in any of the funding bills that went into law. It gives that money to the executive branch, but doesn't specify what member or what agency within the executive branch is supposed to distribute those funds.
So it goes back to the unelected officials that have been in there for however long distributing the money.
Exactly. So for decades, we've had unelected people distributing money to Lord knows who, and with no accountability, no transparency.
None whatsoever.
And certainly not in the values of the United States or even of the elected officials of the United States. Nothing like that.
Mm-mm.
So in this instance, one of the things that Trump has made very clear is that he doesn't want to eliminate all the funding of USAID because a lot of it is very good funding. He wants to eliminate the bureaucracy of USAID and have the money that's been dictated by Congress or allocated by Congress to be spent through the State Department instead of having another bureaucratic agency that spends the bulk of their money having bagels every morning to discuss how they're going to issue memos that no one will read.
Boy, that's a really good point. And it's very rational. It's all very rational.
Yeah. And yet we're hearing howling and screaming and wailing and gnashing of teeth. But on this issue of, now we have this whole issue of constitutional crisis because Trump supposedly isn't following the law. And on that point, we played that clip earlier about the constitutional crisis. I want to just play this again. Clip 12, Ethan. This is what we're hearing right now from elected officials on the left and the mainstream media. Of course, I'm being redundant. Clip 12. Here's what they're saying.
I've been hearing those words a lot lately. But in fact, the real constitutional crisis is taking place within our judicial branch, where district court judges in liberal districts across the country are abusing their power to unilaterally block President Trump's basic executive authority. We believe these judges are acting as judicial activists rather than honest arbiters of the law. Quick news flash to these liberal judges who are supporting their obstructionist efforts. 77 million Americans voted to elect this president. We will comply with the law in the courts, but we will also continue to seek every legal remedy to ultimately overturn these radical injunctions and ensure President Trump's policies can be enacted.
That's exactly the way this is supposed to go.
Exactly. And it sounds to me like these courts and these judges are just acting politically, right, to try to get their way rather than following what the law says.
Mm-hmm. And And on this issue of presidents not following the law, mm-hmm. I also did a little research on that well. When Joe Biden was vice president, you remember there was an issue with Ukraine even back then, because we were sending funds to Ukraine to help them withstand what was anticipated to be an onslaught by Russia, which eventually happened. But you remember there was an investigation into, was it Burisma? I can't remember. I'm sorry. As I'm thinking about it, it was an executive corporation on which Hunter Biden sat as the board of directors. And there was an investigation by the chief federal prosecuting attorney in Ukraine to investigate the company where Hunter Biden was on the board of directors. Mm. Biden said this. He said, because there were billions of dollars being allocated to Ukraine, even then, President Biden said this, quote, "You're not getting this $1 billion until you do this," unquote. And the this was fire the prosecutor.
Oh, my God. Okay?
So even though Congress required that money to go to Ukraine, Biden said, "You're not going to get the money unless you fire the prosecutor who's investigating my son."
That is disgusting.
We forget that these things happen because we have such short memories. Let's talk about the so-called student loan forgiveness. The courts over and over and over every time.
Yeah.
In fact, his record was zero.
You
didn't win one.
You can't do it. You can't do it.
You cannot forgive the loans because forgiveness wasn't forgiveness.
Of course not.
It was simply transferring the debt of those loans
back to us.
Back to us and adding to that $36 trillion deficit. Every time the court said no, the Biden administration says, okay, we're going to still do it.
Yeah.
And they try to come up with new and different and so-called creative ways to violate the court orders from courts, from circuit courts to the Supreme Court. They continually violated. Where was the left saying that was a constitutional crisis?
Didn't hear it.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Near crickets. That's all that we heard from that were crickets. So when I look at all of this, I say, well, number one, you're being disingenuous, left, because you're not calling out how literally Biden violated the will of the Supreme Court and they still did it anyway. No complaints then. DOGE is legal because Trump is working in the executive branch, does not require Senate approval, and all of the funds that are being trimmed because of waste, fraud, and abuse.
That's right.
And those funds that are going to go to legitimate, feed the hungry, help people prevent AIDS, all of those are legitimate programs, will still continue to be funded through the State Department, but without the excess of a bureaucracy, so people can dream up ways to fund DEI programs in Uganda.
It's genius. This plan that he has and is executing is genius. And of course, all we get is, it's horrible, blah, blah, blah.
Well, I've laid out the policy and the legal reasons why DOGE is not only legal, but it's essential.
And you have to think that they set it up this way so that he wouldn't have to be approved by Senate, that it would be just through the executive branch, fed through the State Department. It makes perfect sense.
And I hope, you know, God bless them, that when I say they, I mean Trump and Elon Musk, can stand even in the face of this ridiculous criticism and keep reducing what we spend on government so that we and our children and grandchildren aren't charged with paying the Chinese for the debt that we have driven up to $36 trillion. Listen, I don't want to pay the Chinese money on our debt.
Nope.
And this is how we start the process of reducing that national debt.
Yep.
Hey, we're going to take a break. We've got the audio cut of the day coming up next on The Mark Reardon Show, 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.